ESPN Las Vegas, 1100 AM and 100.9 FM. KWWN Las Vegas. It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
We got to calm down. That's not a good thing to say on a radio show. We got to calm down.
Right.
Salerno's here, 4 o'clock hour. It's brought to you by Battleborn Injury Lawyers. 766-1400 is the number. Got to dial 775 in the north. Office is in downtown Vegas, Reno, and in Henderson. And Griffin, hold me to this, like, hold up a big sign. Before we go to break at 4:15, we're going to give away some tickets to Battle for Vegas. Sorry, Reno. You can come down here if you want. But that's the VGK celebrity softball game against Raiders and Friends. Somehow the Canseco brothers landed on the Raiders team.
Well,
I don't know how that happened.
Oakland, I guess.
Stomper is going to be here, the elephant mascot.
Yeah.
I asked the other host on the show, are you a Chance and Stomper will be there. So Stomper is the big elephant for the A's. It goes back to like the 19, I don't know, teens. Are you a bigger Chance guy or Gila Monster or elephant?
I'd probably go Gila Monster.
Really?
Yeah. It's an interesting animal to me. I like him better. By the way, I was going to say, Jose Canseco actually has a car wash in town, so that might explain some of it.
He had one.
Oh, no longer?
Have you driven by it?
No, not recently.
I was going to try to get him on, but that would be the first thing I asked him about. Like, dude, what happened to the gas station and the car wash?
Really?
That's a bummer.
There was a picture of him on it and everything.
They had cheap gas, too.
I know.
They always had lower gas.
Yeah. Well, that's a shame.
Unless it opened up in the last, I don't know, I drove by it last week, so maybe they, something.
You mean it's like completely closed?
Oh, yeah, it's all fenced up.
I didn't know that.
Sucks, I know.
Oh,
it's an American
man.
Success story here in Vegas.
Yeah, well, it was.
Dare to dream. You can own a gas station and a car wash.
It's true. It's a shame.
It doesn't seem that heartfelt now. You're like, I live in a hotel. Screw Jose. Big four.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big Four at Four. Number four.
Man, I don't know what's coming here, but yesterday we had Willie Ramirez as the company, and Willie just started belittling locals about the weather. He's like, enough. Stop complaining about the weather. There's no difference between 114 and 118. You can't even feel it. Okay.
The thing I don't get is, don't most people live in a structure with air conditioning, though? I mean, they're acting like they're outside all day.
I mean,
I get it if you're a construction worker.
We do have a host on the show whose AC is out in his car.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that sucks.
That's a rough one.
Who is it? Are you not allowed to tell me? Or?
Big Adam.
What?
I don't know if he got it fixed over the weekend.
Adam has no air conditioning in his car?
He has to get the, I guess it's like the refrigerant filled.
Yeah, the Freon.
The last 2 months, but it ran out. So like last week he was driving around with no AC.
Oh my God. Adam, I'll pick you up, bro.
I know, he's a lunatic.
Like, wow.
Right? We can have a little trade here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You got a little extra space?
I got no
problem. Bedroom at the Hill compound.
Oh, dude. Yeah, actually.
And then I'll drive you around.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that's right.
We can trade things.
You know what? I'll just give you a ride. I don't care. I like my hotel.
Are you one of these climate change people?
You mean, do I believe in it?
Science.
Do I like science and stuff? Yeah.
Stupid.
I know. What a dummy. You know, I'll tell you what. At this rate, though, Prim's going to have some oceanfront property soon, so I'm just waiting.
Henderson's pretty much annexed all the way out there, so buy your property now.
You're
in Henderson, and you'll be
you're at the beach. That'd be awesome.
How are you as a big fella, as a fellow big fella?
Yeah.
Are you okay?
Even with the heat, I'm fine, man. Yeah. I've been here so long, my blood's really thin, you know?
It is amazing, even as bulky, hefty as some of us can be, that we actually get cold pretty easily now. I am a real wimp.
Oh, me too. I'll tell you what, I go take pictures sometime, as, you know, Griage does. And I was up on Mount Charleston over the weekend after work, and it was 65 degrees, and I was freezing.
Were you?
Yeah.
Like a nice thick jacket on?
Yeah, I was like, I was looking at my trunk because I didn't bring anything, and I'm like, oh my God, throwing things around.
A blanket?
Yeah, it was freezing.
Number three.
Willie was also in yesterday belittling anyone who hasn't been here, I guess, longer than what, like 96, he said? Like, real locals were here before them. Okay. I feel like the Crown and Anchor is a real local place, or it was. I don't know what's going to happen in the future. Have you seen the story bouncing around? And it's not a new story. I just don't remember it being publicized. The first account I saw of this was back to like 2013.
Yeah.
But because Crown and Anchor closed, then there's a tie there, right, to Brandon Flowers and the Killers and Mr. Brightside. Have you seen the story floating around? It's become like a really big thing.
I haven't. No.
Okay.
I'm interested.
Yeah. Do you know what the song is about?
No.
I mean, listen to the lyrics, right? Obviously, his chick is with some other guy, and he's kind of detailing the, you know, the horrifying visions of what could be happening. No, true story is he worked in town. He was over at Gold Coast, and I don't know if he had a suspicion or he got a tip, but or he went randomly. I can't remember that part. But he, hey, walks into Crown and Anchor, and his girlfriend at the time was canoodling with another dude.
Wow.
And that's what the whole song is about. That was their first song.
Yeah,
if I'm reading that correctly, that was the Killers' first song. They had like multiple versions of it. They perfected it. But now this is kind of a nationwide thing. Like, hey, everyone knows this song. It's pretty iconic. It was about that guy going to this bar in Vegas and seeing his lady.
See, that's my issue is the lyrics, because they get mad at me for saying this stuff, but I don't listen to lyrics at all. I listen to just the music. No. Here's the thing to me is I was like, oh, this profound lyric this guy wrote. I'm like, dude, it's mostly like 20-year-old junkies and guys who were at methadone clinics when they were 18. Like they know the whole world or so, you know, who cares?
Is it bad that I've been singing Mr. Brownstone for like 31 years and I'm like, heroin? What? Oh,
that's
yeah.
What I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, you listen. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Half the songs.
He does love this. Sounds great now. Worked out for you. It did, actually. They cashed in big time, so what does he care?
Yeah.
Can't sing anymore.
Well, some of the guys aren't here anymore either, but, you know, whatever.
Good point. Touche. Yeah, so check that out.
I
don't like lyrics, so what the hell does it matter then?
I'll listen to it now that I know. I'll listen to it, but I just in general, I don't hear them, the lyrics.
Science, but doesn't want to process lyrics. Go figure. What a man of mystery. Number two.
Number two.
Okay, so I loved what happened yesterday at Mendenhall on the campus of UNLV, but I also hated it, remembering that it is a future Dukie. So,
yeah.
Select team, yesterday scrimmages against Team USA, and then all of a sudden all these videos start coming out about Cooper Flagg. And if people didn't know who he was, a lot more know who he is now. So, 6'9", 6'10", Cooper Flagg, who's from Maine, prepped in Florida, and is expected, he's in the running to be the number one pick. And now this is all kind of coming together. Like, he's one of the future stars of college basketball for a year, future star of NBA, future of maybe Team USA, and he was on display right here in Vegas going against the big boys.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. That's really cool. I like it.
He may be on a Duke team that features the number one and number two pick, because there's a kid, Malwatch, who's 7'2".
Yeah.
The athleticism on this dude is insane. He will be featured. Let's see if Greg knows this one. You're very worldly. He will be featured as part of the South Sudan team.
Yeah.
USA is going to scrimmage against South Sudan in London? In London. Did you know there was a South Sudan?
Of course. Duh. Who doesn't know that?
Who didn't know that? Yeah. G-Dam Duke has maybe the number one and two pick.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we have two Dakotas for no reason. Why can't they have a South Sudan?
That's a good point. Yeah. I think there's a... Well, I know there was. I actually went back and read up on it, which is embarrassing because the official split came in 2011. It wasn't like last year. So,
oh.
Yeah. Wow. Little, right. As often happens, quite the religious battle.
Yeah, they've gained a Sudan since the last time the Yankees won a World Series.
Oh, there we go.
Thank
back
you.
Back to the Yankee rant. Yeah, the other thing is if you want to see Cooper Flagg and Malwatch and the other Duke players, they play Kansas. I think I'm correct on the opponent. They're going to be playing here November 26th.
That's right.
T-Mobile at the same time as eight more college basketball teams are going to be playing in a tournament that I think is all split up between MGM Grand and T-Mobile. We are probably going to have four of the top five teams in college basketball in the preseason here Thanksgiving week. So
that's awesome, man.
Right? We were talking about the Big 12.
Like, yeah.
Why would the Big 12 want to be here?
Well, that's exactly my point. It's destination city now,
everyone
man.
Wants to be
everyone
here.
Wants to be here.
Yep, they're doing a big NIL tournament in that one with the eight teams, and I think it's best two teams in there are Houston and Alabama. San Diego State's in it. Not UNLV, not Boise State. San Diego State, sadly, might be the worst team, and they're pretty good. They're pretty good. It's a good program. They'll be the worst team in the NIL tournament, but what do they care? They actually get money for the program
of course.
Out of it, so that's a good thing. Top story.
Number one.
Ooh, hold off on number one. I wanted to make one more point. So the other thing with this Cooper Flagg that's intriguing is because he's in the running to be the number one pick and maybe a big favorite to be the number one pick, there are people suggesting that the jockeying has already begun to try to get the number one pick by tanking the season. But what the problem in the NBA is, like, the lottery doesn't
right.
work. Like, it's not like 81%, you know, the worst
yeah.
team's going to get the first pick. It's been a disaster. Detroit has been in the best position consistently.
Yeah,
and
no.
they often don't get the number one pick. So the thought is Danny Ainge is, you know, continuing to try to rebuild in Utah, that Markkanen a big part of moving on him, because it doesn't really make sense. Like, he's a good building block. It's not like he's like 34 years old.
Yeah.
But getting him out.
That lottery is so stupid.
Is an attempt to get the hell down
in
the standings, maybe to get Cooper Flagg.
Got to get a cold envelope like the Knicks or something, man.
And the frozen envelope.
Yeah, frozen envelope.
Number one.
I'm going to throw it out there. Don't yell at me. I'm just going to present it like this.
Yes.
Why are you so excited for Team USA?
I have never seen, nobody has seen LeBron and Steph really play together for an extended period of time. I know there's been all-star games and they're goofing around, but I'm excited. It's competition. There's a medal on the line. You got KD, LeBron, Steph, if KD plays, all on the same team. You got the young guys on there. You got Anthony Edwards, who can't shut up. I think it's great, by the way, but he just always talking. I think it's going to be awesome. I think it's going to be so much fun. It's the most excited I've been to see this since the 90s teams. So.
Should we be worried that they could have a couple of down games and not win the gold?
There's always that chance because, I mean, look, the Dream Team was playing against guys who, you know, were farming the same day they were, you know, about to go play a game. So it's not the same. These guys are actually – the other countries can actually play basketball now. So, yeah, any given day they could lose a game. I mean, I don't think it's a horrible thing. But I think they're the overwhelming favorites. I don't think this is like the bronze team or any of that kind of stuff. I think they're overwhelming favorites this year.
Yeah, the teams of the early 2000s, you know, 2004, 2006. At the same time, the world was catching up.
Right.
Slightly, a couple of things happened. Those other teams around the world had veteran teams that played together internationally a lot.
Right.
So they had experience together. So that,
sure.
In this case, you know, these guys are not all having a chance to play as a group. So they're not really a team. So that could be, I think that's probably the biggest issue now is that, you know, they're relatively new being on a team together. I know it sounds simplistic, but that was the problem last time around. Now, the other difference, though, is those teams of 2004, 2006 were also poorly constructed and were just an all-star team. So we're going to find out if this is actually a carefully crafted team that has everything it needs, or it's just an all-star team.
I find it really hard to believe they're going to lose. But, again, anything could happen. I wouldn't be shocked if they did. I mean, I would literally be shocked to the point where I'd have a heart attack at the Dream Team loss because they're playing against nobodies. So,
okay, Anthony Edwards. We played a tease from, I think it was yesterday's ESPN National Morning Show, where one of the hosts was saying, hey, tell me who's better than Anthony Edwards on this Team USA. He's very good, and he's the future, but
come on. Yeah, he's not there yet. And even As an overall player, even during the regular season, he wasn't that amazing. I mean, he's great. He's a good player. Don't get me wrong. Very good. But no, he's not. I don't even think he's a top four or five player on the team, to be honest.
He's saying he is. You got a problem with that?
No, not at all. I think it's great. He thinks he's the best player ever, and every time he steps in the court, he talks trash. I think it's great because, I mean, it's not like he doesn't perform at all. He's good. It's just, you know.
Team includes LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Devin Booker, and others. You know, AD is a pretty good player.
Sure.
And, Edwards said, quote, I'm still the number one option. Y'all might look at it differently. I don't look at it differently. I just go out there, I be myself, shoot my shots, play defense, and they got to fit into play around me. That's how I feel.
Well, he might play the most minutes because he's young, and the other guys are not, you know. By the way, can I sneak something in here about the USA team? This Joel Embiid shouldn't be playing for USA crap. He's an American citizen, morons. I don't understand this.
Chasing a ring, easy path.
He's not, but I'm.
What about Cameroon?
But they're saying
they need his help.
They're saying he's not American. I've seen like 500 posts. He's not American. How are you more American than being an American citizen? He's an American citizen. He passed the test that 70% of the country probably couldn't even pass about civics.
Now that's a valid point. I couldn't pass it
now. Yeah, I don't think I could either.
He's more American than I am.
Yeah, of course.
And he's 7'1", 300.
Exactly.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Told you, dude. This show is legendary. Highest weighted show. Not highest rated. Highest weighted sports radio show in the country. And when it's you, myself, and Griffin, we're over 800 pounds.
Yeah.
And the AC unit is struggling right now. We are at 80.6. And I can tell you're getting cranky.
I am.
Let this cool off for a second.
I'm trying.
I'm going to do a giveaway here.
Okay.
So you can relax for like 30 seconds.
All right. Fair enough.
And we'll come back. We'll turn over a new leaf. You're screaming and yelling about basically F Team Cameroon. That was a rant. Brian, you hate Brian Cashman. We've lost control here. All right, we've got a great charity softball game for the VGK Foundation going down on Saturday. It's not our game. It's brought to you by Tobin Motor Cars. It's the Battle for Vegas. You can get your tickets at battleforvegas.com. You got to get them now because this thing sells out at LV Ballpark to the tune of 9,000 plus. It's Team VGK against Team Raiders. Special guests are there as well. We got two tickets right now. It's Saturday. Celebrity, athlete, softball game. Caller 7-364-1100, 364-1100. Tickets available at battleforvegas.com, battleforvegas.com. And go check out Tobin Motor Cars, tobinmotorcars.com. You can check out their full gallery of new and pre-owned luxury vehicles. I saw, you know what's funny? I saw social media can make you jealous sometimes.
Yeah.
If you're a little insecure. And I found myself today, I'm like, man, everyone I know, like, all these good trips. I'm like, she got a Mercedes?
I know.
What's going on here?
I do that too, though. I think people inflate themselves a little bit on there, so, like, it's not really, you know, sometimes a guy will take a picture sitting on a hood of a Viper or something, and it's, like, not really his or, you know, stuff like that.
I chose to impress everyone on National Fried Chicken Day by putting up, like, a quarter-eaten chicken.
I saw that. I almost commented on it.
You should have.
I was going to be like
– I'm such an animal. I got so excited – because I went to a Korean chicken joint, and they were like, oh, they throw a whole fried chicken in. And they put it down, and it was like an eating contest. It was like,
yeah,
there were so many fries in this chicken. And by the way, it was delicious. It was juicy. And I was like, I started tearing into it. Because I was saying to the significant other, I'm like, I got some breast meat here. I know you like the white meat. And right. I was like, oh, no. No. I didn't take a picture of the beautiful –
I know.
Whole fried chicken. I was like, screw it. Putting it up.
I almost commented because it looked like it would be delicious, except for, like, you can see the shape of your bite marks, like, in the chicken. It was kind of off-putting, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, actually, the beginning of it, I kind of broke down with a fork and knife.
Okay.
And then after that, I was like, I started tearing into it. Yeah, if you're gonna eat fried chicken, it's not for the delicate.
No.
Like, you got to gnaw on that thing.
But if you're going to take a picture, you got to do it beforehand.
I know.
Like
I got
Sasquatch spit it out on the table.
I got excited. I still have 3/4 of the chicken boxed up. Like, the guy's like, oh, how many boxes do you need? He gave me 2. I'm like, give me a 3rd. Come on.
It did look good,
small
though.
Boxes.
It did look like at one point it looked good.
We're going to see how it reheats.
All right.
I liked it so much, though. I've been thinking about it. I'm like, that could be my Friday spot at the end of the work week.
Yeah.
I might have to hit that.
How do you reheat fried chicken, though? You don't put it in the microwave, right?
I'll probably nuke it for like 30 and then put it in the air fryer.
Okay, air fryer was that was gonna be my suggestion.
You'd be able to re-crisp it up.
Yeah, okay.
But you shouldn't let it sit in the fried chicken with the, you know, the coating and everything, breading. Probably shouldn't let it sit for too long because then there's no way you can kind of recreate what the original crust was.
Yeah.
I wouldn't get the whole chicken next time, though.
Air fryer's the closest, I think, to recreation, though.
I guess.
Right?
I don't know. You want to barbecue it? I don't.
No, I'm saying the microwave's not going to do it.
I guess you could bake it in an oven, but I think that would dry it out.
No.
It doesn't need much in the air fryer.
Yeah, air fryer's good.
I get mocked on for the air fryer use. But
really? Oh, I love them.
For a lot of things, it's a good tool.
Now, is an air fryer different than a convection oven? Because I like convection oven.
I don't know the difference, but I think it's the same thing, but I don't know.
Okay.
702-364-1100 is our text line. So, convection oven,
versus
air fryer.
Air fryer.
Same thing. It's just packaged differently.
Yeah.
Okay. So I was going to get you worked up, but now I don't feel like – I feel like it's kind of mean to do it. I share this frustration following the Yankees. I also have this guy in fantasy baseball, which everyone cares about. We were talking about trade deadline with the Yankees.
Yeah.
And I was telling you last week, I'm like, Louis Hill and Rodon, they were out of their gourd
right.
for 70 games.
Like, right.
They gotta get help. Rodon – 4 hits, 4 runs given up already. One, first inning. Grand slam, I think.
Yeah, you know what? He is.
They overpaid for the dude.
Yeah.
He's a 5th starter now. You got to go get some more help. So, Ray, and you know what's funny? Are the Rays? I was looking at that. I mentioned that odds board. Later in the 4 o'clock hour, we're going to talk to Sammy P and the AL odds board. Yeah, the Rays are outside of. They're 4. I'll have to double check this. This list says they're not even in the top 7. Rays are always a pain in the ass.
Yeah,
not in the top 7 odds for the AL. I'm not saying they're going to win it, but they're 2 games under 500.
Well,
they've got pitching that never ends. Keep in mind, the Rays have also not really had a healthy. Is it Brandon Lau and Josh Lowe? I think there's a difference. I know they're two different people, but they're
right. Yeah.
Who are both like 20 homer, 80, you know, rib guys, and Josh Lowe is a more well-rounded player. He steals bases. Those guys really they've just started playing.
Well, it's also like the NFL too, where divisions, it doesn't really matter who's better. They always have tough games, you know.
The Rays are just a good organization.
They are, but they're not afraid of the Orioles. They're not afraid of the Yankees. They're not afraid of the Red Sox at all. So, I mean, you know, you're not going to get any help there at all.
Where are they in the pecking order? Come on, standings. Let's go. I don't have all this stuff memorized, folks. Sorry. I'm getting old.
Oh, I thought they were fourth, but – oh, no, wait. I think the –
no, wild card, they're 5.5 out.
Okay.
That's great. I was mentioning earlier how the Red Sox don't try. They've actually had a pretty decent season. They're 49-40. So.
Well, now.
Rays, Astros, Royals are out right now, wild card.
Yeah.
They have fallen apart.
Yeah.
But you knew that was a little phony. They may tweak a little bit to get help. They probably won't. They'll fall on their shield of poorness, which is bull crap.
They always do that. You know, it's weird, though. For a while, they had all this great pitching in their bullpen, starting pitching. I don't know what happened there. Maybe they got lucky, but it looked like they were building
this
something.
Year or years ago?
Well, a year or two ago.
Yeah.
A lot of live arms. It seemed like they had a lot of young players. I don't know what happened.
Oh, they're poor. they have no money. That's their excuse forever. That may be my favorite region of fans. I don't think you've ever heard me on this rant, but Kansas City?
Yeah.
Oh, we're so poor.
Yeah.
So poor. But they're complete bullies with the Chiefs. Now, of course, they'll point to salary cap, but the Kansas City fans who are poor, the top five basketball program they have there, Kansas – there's no salary cap there. Oh, you like being the Yankees of college basketball, don't you?
Right.
We're poor in baseball. We can't compete.
Have you ever driven by that stadium on I-70 where the Royals play?
I've been there.
It's like beautiful on the inside, but when you drive by it, it's like, you know, in Blazing Saddles where they have those buildings up, but it like looks nice in the front, but then the back of it just looks like complete garbage. Like a fake.
It's, both teams need a new stadium.
Yeah.
So we don't have to get into how they're going to fund that whole thing. So back to the NBA, because summer league's here. We're not going to get a look at a lot of these guys who just moved teams. We haven't talked about Golden State. So clearly, whether Klay Thompson likes it or not, or he feels disrespected or not, they didn't want him.
No.
They didn't want him back. Nope. They never made him a real offer. They made him an offer, but he was insulted. I threw this one out last week. I can't remember who. Maybe it was you. You ever get in a work or friend, family situation where it's like, you know, the company or my family is supposed to do this, but I'm not telling them to do it. They should know to do it. I'm not going to stand up for myself, and I'm not going to have, like, my brother pitch in, right?
Yeah.
Because the story was Steph Curry could have gone to management and said, hey, take care of the guy, and Clay was like, no, don't do it. They need to do what's right.
You pretty much just described my personality 24 hours a day. Yeah.
Constantly pissing and moaning.
That's exactly.
I'm not getting respected.
That's exactly. Yeah. I feel disrespected all the time.
I'll fix them. I'll take less money to go to the Mavs and not end my career in Golden State. They'll learn their lesson. They're like, yeah, we learned. All right, Buddy Hield, come on. Let's go.
Yeah. No. Well, the Buddy Hield thing to me is weird because three years ago or so, he was, you know, seen as a rising player. He's a really good shooter. He was a great shooter on the Pacers for like half a season. Then he went to the Sixers and he was completely terrible. And they're complaining, oh, they didn't give him enough playing time. They tried. I mean, he was awful in the playoffs. So I don't know. I don't know what Buddy Hield they're getting. I mean, if they get the Buddy Hield from 3 years ago, then yeah, I think they got not a splash brother, but you know what they need as a complimentary guy, kind of like Clay. But I don't know. I don't know what he is. I think he's more of a role player at this point than he is anything.
I think Clay's better off with what he did. I know. I'm sure he's hurt. Yeah. He feels like he should have been able to finish out his career. Hell, if Draymond Green, after knocking guys out and acting like a horse's ass constantly, he got an extension. Then I thought maybe I misunderstood it. I thought Draymond kind of poured salt in the wound. He went on his podcast and he's like, you know, I told the Warriors that I had an offer from here, and you know, basically they ponied up. And like, if Klay Thompson's like, you even kind of threatened him, and they still ponied. Like. But I think the Mavs are going to be good. I think they have developmental guys at the 4 and 5.
Yeah.
And maybe Klay Thompson, even though I think he's a child at times, can get Luka to get a little more serious, grow up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're already good. They were in the finals already.
I'm saying this could be the next step.
Sure.
Most people don't expect them to get back to the finals.
I don't
I think
either.
Most look at them as a fluke.
Yeah.
Klay Thompson, if healthy, can play a little bit of defense, you know, get back to a little better form.
Right? Yeah. Well,
he's a good addition.
I think – well, I've said this before. I thought he'd be a great addition to the Lakers with LeBron. I think he's a perfect complimentary piece to a guy – LeBron's never really had a guy like that before, you know. And I think for Luka, it's pretty much the same thing. Guy can facilitate. I don't know about Kyrie Irving. I mean, he's so up and down. I don't know, you know, what he's going to do next year. But, yeah, I mean, the Mavs, I think they're definitely contenders.
You mentioned Hurley earlier, just to go over some Western Conference stuff in the last couple seconds of this block.
Mm-hmm.
He was offered $6 and $70 million by the Lakers. You saw that he took. His official extension was $6 and $50 million with UConn.
Right.
It wasn't about money, dude.
I don't know,
He used the Lakers to get the $6 and $50. He was never leaving. His wife wasn't going to let him leave.
Well, that's my point.
He told the story again. Oh, she started crying hysterically. Like, what is going on here, Dan Hurley?
Paying in a moving tax. You got to offer him $100.
No.
Come on, Jeannie.
The Lakers don't need to lower themselves to a freaking hothead who's never coached in the NBA, who's also that kind of scurrilous that he's going to start playing games.
Yeah.
Let him do his nonsense in Stewart's, Connecticut.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Halfway point of the show. This hour is brought to you by Battleborn Injury Lawyers. 766-1400 is the number. And Reno, dial 775. Office is down our way in downtown Vegas, Vegas, and Henderson. Before we get to your complaints about you're getting very weary, you feel really beat up, you feel old, you triggered something with me. Did you injure someone here at the workplace?
I probably shouldn't say it out loud.
I know. I should. Mine's a lot older.
Yeah.
So I think I'm safe. But go ahead. You set it up.
I don't know what the statute of limitations is on suing somebody for something like this.
He's not going to do anything.
All right,
he's a good-natured fella.
Yeah, he is. So Dennis Huff works on comp, and he and I used to do a morning show before I left it. And so we were in there doing that, and there was a I used to make fun of him about being short. He made fun of me about being fat. You know, whatever you do when you're busting your friend's chops. And so we had a competition one day where I was putting these thumbtacks in the wall, and I was betting to see. We had the listeners bet, and I was betting to see which tacks he could get off the wall. And he jumped from one of the tacks, and he already had sciatica. And then while he was jumping, he re-injured his back and then had to go have surgery and went to the hospital. You know,
so. How old is he at that time?
He's a little older than me, so he's got to be 50.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to know your limitations.
Yeah. That's what I told him.
I was at this is going to sound like I'm 11, but I was at a pool party on Sunday, and it was it's friends of ours have a real nice pool. It's got a lower level, and then it's raised up for a hot tub. They got a bunch of floaties. So they start jumping on these floaties. They got a big duck, a big whatever. And I was like, I'm going to be kind of careful here. And at one point, I got froggy. And I jumped on something flat, and I flew across the pool on this floaty and slammed my head into the stairs. And the owner of the house, I'm friends with her, but she's like, are you okay? You
have
a concussion?
Of course.
And then, like, for the last 3 days, I'm like, did I bruise my ear? That's your fault. That's my fault.
Yeah.
If you're, like, late 40s, early 50-something.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to know. Like, we're not going to get into a vertical leap contest in studio.
Right. Yeah. So. Yeah, I kind of talked him in. I mean, it was definitely my fault. But you know what?
Don't feel bad about
it. He's a nice guy.
He'll be okay.
And, you know, karma or whatever.
I know his family's listening to problem up and be like, dude, you got to go after Salerno. He has no money, but other options.
He's suing me for half my PlayStation that's in storage. But but maybe it's karma, but I have whatever he had in his back and my neck now. So, and it's not going away. So
do you want to be alive at 100?
Depends. Does my neck feel better by then? Because. Yeah, no. But, yeah, actually, I want to live forever. I'm one of those people. I don't want to ever die, ever.
I mean, you like science, as you said earlier.
Yeah.
Maybe they can come up with something here.
Well.
I mean, celebrities and wealthy people look super young, so there's some stuff that's making you look young. Is it life extending? Maybe. Can we get, like, super advanced on cryotherapy? You can come back with Ted Williams?
Well, I think what they're going to do eventually is they're going to actually upload your consciousness into a computer or something.
Here we go.
But then at that point, I don't feel like it's you anymore. You're just kind of like a memory bank of you. It's like when Superman goes to talk to his dad at like the Fortress of Solitude, and he's just a computer program.
I don't know what you're talking
you
about.
You don't know?
Keep going.
Griffin knows. Yeah, he goes to talk to his dad up there in Antarctica, and, you know, it's like all of his memories and all of his mind and everything is already in this computer. So when he talks to him, it's kind of like his dad, but it's not really his dad. That's kind of, I feel like, what people will be eventually.
That's Greg Salerno. You found a 100-year-old woman's story that she says she feels how old?
Oh, she said she feels 40 or 50 years old.
Is that possible?
No. Well, I think it is because it gets normalized. She probably doesn't remember what it's like to be 40 or 50 years old. So she probably she probably feels like 95-ish, but like to her, that's, you know.
Like 40 all
yeah.
over again.
Yeah.
No, it's not, grandma. Or great-grandma.
Right.
Or great-great-grandma.
Yeah. Like she probably moves like molasses, but still feels.
I'm getting around good.
Yeah. So I saw a lady one time. She said that the only reason she was 105-ish, and she said that the only reason she made it that far is because she drinks one Dr. Pepper every day. Now, I'm not even this
what
not a sponsorship. Yeah, I know.
Is that why they jumped to number two on the soda list?
I guess so.
Pepsi, get it together. You got passed up because it's a 105-year-old lady endorsement.
Are they a client, Pepsi?
I mean, everything's possible, so we always have to be careful.
All right.
You know, you could be.
I love Pepsi.
You could be, you know, we love Kevin Hart. I don't know about the Wednesday 2 to 3 show, but we love giving away tickets. We're going to have more Kevin Hart tickets this week.
It's my favorite comedian.
Now, back to Cofield and Company on ESPN, Las Vegas, and ESPN, Reno.
They posted me and then like a trash can or something like that, the Chargers did. But I figured it'd be better to, you know, just beat their head in real life and continue doing it the way, you know, because my first game against them, I don't know, they clearly forgot 141 yards and a touchdown. I just wanted to kind of remind them what they've been going through as it pertains to playing against me. The people that made that post, because it's not the player's fault. They didn't have anything to do with the post, but this is directed strictly toward the Chargers social media page. Please keep my name out your mouth and show some.
I will guarantee the Chargers social media team will only post about Devontae Adams now. You gave them exactly what they wanted. Validation. Yeah, they mocked on him in the, you know, they do a big schedule release thing. Everyone tries, but the Chargers social media team is the best.
Yeah.
And they poked fun at Devontae Adams, and he's a little more sensitive than you'd expect. By the way, wide receivers, like quarterbacks last year, wide receivers on Netflix starts tomorrow.
Really?
Devontae Adams is part of that. But, yeah, Devontae Adams on there with Kay Adams, you know, throwing some tough words at the Chargers social media team. Let's bring in Sammy P. Now I'm ready to bet week one. Devontae's mad, Sammy. Raiders plus 3.5. Let's do it.
I've got some week one bets we can talk about, but I need your help here. I need a push on this bet. I am so ready to bet Canada tonight to advance past Argentina at 5-1. I am so ready to do it, but I'm scared. Should I do it?
Adam Hill's not here. He's a soccer guy. Greg and I are like, we're infants when it comes to soccer betting. I have no idea if that's a good bet. I don't know.
So my theory is a lot like Portugal. Portugal has too many eggs in the Ronaldo basket, or had too many eggs, and they were probably better if they didn't play Ronaldo, because Ronaldo's, I believe, 39 years old, and they lost a game they probably should have won, and he missed a penalty kick, and he was awful. Messi is one of the best to ever do it, if not the best. Mm-hmm. But Father Time, guys, is undefeated, and Messi has not been great. I don't care what anybody says. He has not been good in this Copa America. But you are paying a premium on Argentina to advance at minus 800. I don't think that's the right number. And I will probably, in the next 15 minutes, find my balls and bet on Canada.
All right. So I was joking about week one and Devontae being mad. I don't care if he's mad. And that's not going to be the determining factor for betting that. Week one is one thing. Have you already started putting down some Super Bowl bets?
Oh, yeah. I was looking at Circa, too, and they have the best stuff for the championship exacted. Let me give you an example here, because I pulled up FanDuel. The price that FanDuel is offering you on the Eagles to beat the Jets, or let's flip it. Jets to beat the Eagles at FanDuel is 130-1. Now, that has to happen, that exact result. Jets to beat Eagles, 130-1.
Wow.
Circa has Jets to beat Eagles at 235-1. So, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, when I am there in less than a month, I'm basically, like, the options I have here in Massachusetts, I can bet the matchup. I can bet it at FanDuel, Eagles-Jets, 75-1. MGM, 80-1. 90-1 at DraftKings. I have a local giving me 100. But the two exact results at Circa with those two teams are 235-1 and 245-1. So, I'm basically getting it, if I split the unit, I get 240-1. And that is the best price on planet Earth by far.
By the Super Bowl, will you have like four of these bets or like 20?
Usually one.
Okay, that's
usually
it.
I just pick two teams. Okay. Well, lottery I usually tickets. Do the exacta box for horse terminology. I need the two teams. I don't care who wins. Circa doesn't do that. They do the exact result. So I'm basically taking the two teams, putting half of the bet on one to win, half of the bet on the other to win. But I usually pick two teams, one from the AFC, one in the NFC, and make some sort of an exacta box bet. And those are the two teams, long story short, that I'm really high on this year. Philly, to me, at 8-1 to win the NFC is crazy. And the Jets, if the quarterback can stay on the field, big if, that is the most talented Jets team since, oh, I don't know, 1998, when they went 12-4. Testaverde, Curtis Martin, Keyshawn Johnson, really good defense. That is, and you know this, you're a Jets guy, that is the best Jets team talent-wise in almost 30 years.
Greg, reaction as an Eagles fan? You just happy to make it?
I'm honestly surprised that he was able to get that. I mean, why would that be such a tough number? Why wouldn't the Jets be more favored than that and the Eagles? Is it because the Jets have to beat the Eagles?
Well, they're power-rated. Yeah, they're power-rated about the same right now. But, again, that's power ratings are sort of complex because they take a lot of what happened last year and they massage the number a bit. But
right.
I think you're getting an Eagles number that's a little too low because of how they finished. And, look, their defensive secondary was awful last year. But a couple things happened. One, massive injuries on the back end. And two, the Rocket nerd, Matt Patricia, just completely lost the room. And, you know, you don't want to be yelled at by some jagoff when your season is falling apart. You're hanging for dear life, and he's treating you like you're a piece of dirt. Like, they got him way out of town. You got Vic Fangio, who has always been an A-minus defensive coordinator, worked wonders in Chicago, Miami, San Francisco for a long time. I don't want Vic Fangio running my team,
right?
But I'll let him run my defense. And they also took defensive back in the first round and the second round. And to me, the only real loss that Philly had was Jason Kelce. And I don't have to tell you, Greg.
Right.
Jason Kelce at 37 was not the guy he was at 30. I mean, he was very good for a long time. He wasn't that great last year. So I think he was about a replacement level player last year.
Yeah.
So you bring in a new guy to play center. The offense probably gets better, unfortunately. I hate to say that, but that's how it works.
Right.
That team is so far ahead of every other team in the NFC East, it's not even funny.
Yeah, that's crazy to me that would be – that number is just insane to me. I feel like that's one of the best bets I've ever heard.
What they do at Circa. Circa gives you great numbers if you're willing to take a chance. And like I said, I can bet that same bet, Jets to beat Eagles at FanDuel for 130-1. At Circa, it's 245-1. It's just not even a fair fight.
We sent out a video from last week. You called it on an over-under in the hot dog eating contest. There was a lot of drama in this thing, and Bertoletti wanted a good number. He downed 58. Nice call. Your insider had some good stuff for you.
He did, and we did that show a week ago, so Tuesday, which was a couple days before the contest, so I could only give you information up until my hit on Tuesday night. We saw a lot of sharp money on Weary on Tuesday morning, Tuesday afternoon, but Bertoletti, man, he got steamed day of the contest.
Oh, he did?
Oh, big time. Yeah, he went from like 45.5 to 48, 49, I think.
Oh, wow. Hot dogs eating.
And ends up winning the whole thing at a great price. I want to say when we talked a week ago, Bertoletti was 12-1 to win the whole thing. By the time they finally got the contest off the ground, he was 455-1. But we did discuss Weary, and I know there's been a lot of stuff about plate gate and he only ate this. All I'm saying is you ain't getting that money out of my cold, dead hands.
No.
I already spent it.
We told everyone last week the contest is going to be a lot closer. No chestnut. And it turned out that, six different dog eaters, did over 43. So there were six guys between 58 hot dogs and 43. And we said the judges are going to be really important. And the judges may have effed something up. There's some sort of plate gate going on right now. I really don't want to get into it in too much detail because I think they're scurrilous rumors. But they may have jacked up the count on Weary. And like you just said, because he mysteriously went from like 46 and something hot dogs to like 20 minutes later, 51 and three quarters. It was like, how did this happen? They may have miscounted a plate or he did it. I don't know what's going on here. But but again, and we're not – this isn't to sit here and go, Vegas has it right. We talk about it all the time that Vegas doesn't book certain things because there can be mistakes made in the judging, and they may have made a mistake.
They don't book that in Nevada. Yeah. I was talking to Jeff Sherman last week who books at Superbook, and he says, look, we take it in other states. I think they take it in Colorado and New Jersey, but Nevada has never, I don't think, ever taken the hot dog contest. And I had over 46 and a half for about 2,000.
You did?
My friends had a lot more than that,
Holy
if you know what
crap.
I mean.
Yeah.
So we're watching the event, and dude, he comes out of the shoot. He had 10 in the first minute. I'm like, he's going to eat 90. And of course, he slows down. He completely you ever had a car when you're not paying attention and it runs out of gas and you're stepping on the gas and there's nothing there and the car just slows to a crawl? That's what happened to Nick Weary. So unofficially, they go to break, and the number on the screen says 48. So I'm thinking, let's go! They come back and they go, we have a correction on Nick Weary. And I'm like, oh, God, no. 46 and three quarters. So if you're not a math guy or girl, that's just over 46 and a half. And then, yeah, Steve, Major League Eating tweets out that he ate over 50.
He ate 51 and three quarters because people think they counted an extra plate because they count by plates after a while. There's five dogs on a plate, so something happened with the plates.
Well, I already met my guy. I already picked up that cash. Yep. It's already spent. I ain't giving it back.
Sammy, that's a great actual segue into what the Yankees have done this year. Started off fast, and now they're making me very, very angry. I see 30% of the money on the Orioles to win the AL. Anything else interesting going on there in the AL that you're looking at?
I don't know how you could bet the Yankees at 250.
That's crazy.
One book has them 3-1. Well, I talked about this today. I was doing a buddy's show in New York, and he said, how are they 250 to win the AL? I said, well, a couple things. Number one, they're the evil empire, and they're always going to get the money because people bet the Yankees, and the Yankees have a big fan base. Number two, you can't, if you're a bookmaker and the Yankees lose 8 out of 9, what are you going to do? Move the number to 9-1?
Yeah.
Because then somebody just comes in and whacks you 9-1, and then you're liable for a dime, two dimes, five dimes at 9-1 when you should have been dealing 3-1. So you're never going to get off that true price of, well, maybe not true price, the price that it should be if you're booking bets. You got to be around 3-1. And they also, if they get in, which they probably will, guys, you got to get through a lineup in October with Judge, Soto, Stanton, Rizzo, and then Garrett Cole ideally is back to his playoff self as a true legit ace. I know Rodon's been bad. He got torched again today. But the Yankees, if they get in, are as dangerous as anybody. I'm just not betting that price because I have no interest in betting them at 2-3-1. They were 5-1 before the season. So, you know, the Yankee thing is always going to be there. The Oriole love has driven that price way too low. A month ago, I was talking about the Royals at 30-1 to win the pennant. They're now about 20-1. I know MGM's got 20-1 on the list Steve sent. If they get in, man, that lineup is good enough to win a series or two. And then at that point, you could bet off it, right? If you got the Royals at 30-1 to win the AL and they're in the ALCS, you can bet hundreds or thousands on the other team at minus 220 or minus 230, and you are free rolling the pennant, basically. I'm not betting Yankees or Orioles 3-1 or less. I'm not doing it. I think if you go down the board, Mariners 10-1, Royals 20-1, I'm not there on the Red Sox because I think they're fraudulent. But that KC number of 20-1 to me is still way too high.
Sammy, we are seconds away from the 5 o'clock hour. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it, pal. See ya.